Under God. Okay. Next roll call.
Roll call, Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Meeks. Director Wynn. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with eight directors present.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
No, although I would point out we did receive a letter from Mesa Water, and each one of the board members should have this in front of them. That's the only item.
Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to speak? Paul, do you want to speak now?
Sure. Yeah, thank you very much. Paul Schoenberger with Mesa Water District. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. Regarding your closed session item on IRWD versus OCWD, we saw that we had that. Our board had a meeting last night, and they are just very pleased with the outcome of the lower court rulings in this case, which is clearly in OCWD's favor. It's been many years and kind of a long, tough trial, and rarely do you get such a clear decision from the courts. And so you guys have been very successful. Our board was just, tickled with the outcome. So they wanted to write a letter to you and for me to publicly express our thanks for your vigorous defense of the basin, of the producers, and of your ability to properly manage the district. This has been very important. Had IRWD been successful in their lawsuit, they said that you would owe them $18 million, and the impact of a victory on the phase one would be that all of the producers, including Fullerton, including Santa Ana, including everyone else, there would be a cost shift, more than $3 million a year, additional costs on our part accruing to IRWD. And had they went on the second phase, they were challenging your tools to manage the basin and to manage whether water is exported out of the basin or not. And then you prevailed. The tools that you use have been preserved. And so it was a very good outcome on a very important lawsuit. So, a rare victory. You need to take a little time to congratulate the people. Your leadership and direction to your staff and your good legal work, I think all came to fruition. And our board is urging that you continue this vigorous defense as it moves into the appeals section, especially on the phase one portion of the lawsuit. So congratulations.
And thank you for your help, too. All right. Yes. you should be congratulating yourself.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next, shall we go on to our first? Yes.
Well, I was going to suggest maybe we could take the consent calendar first, just to get that out of the way.
Oh, all right.
And maybe we have.
Right. I saw her walk in.
but I think that'd be a good idea to do.
Sure.
Get that business out of the way first. So I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar items 2 through 18, although I need to be recuse myself on item number 8.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Roll call. Director Amezcua. Yeah. Director Bilodeau.
Yes. Do we still need to do roll calls? Mm-hmm. There's no. We do?
It's iffy.
The answer is you can get by without doing it, but it's still good practice.
Okay. I'm a yes.
Oh, here.
Shall I continue?
Yes.
Okay. Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Wynn? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon? Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with 9 yes votes, with Director Bilodeau's noted abstention on item number 8 and Director Sheldon absent.
Okay. Now, shall we go back to item 1, the public hearing to consider the water year 2023-24 replenishment assessment, basin equity assessment, basin production percentage, production requirement limitation, and surcharge. I'd like to open the public hearing. General Manager, do you want to start with the staff report?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam President. And John Kennedy will be presenting this item to the board this evening. John.
Thank you, Mike. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is our annual public hearing to set our rates for fiscal year 23-24. Some background information before we get started. The District Act requires that a public hearing be held each April to consider the replenishment assessment, the additional replenishment assessment, the basin equity assessment, basin production percentage, the production requirement, and any production limitation and surcharge. We reviewed the annual engineer's report on March 15th last month, and it was determined that there is an annual basin overdraft and an accumulated basin overdraft. Those conditions exist, and that's something we need to do annually per the District Act. And that engineer's report that we looked at in March provides the data used in the attached resolutions before you. So there are 4 resolutions for consideration tonight. Resolution A is that there is an annual and or accumulated basin overdraft, that either one of those exist, and that requires 6 votes from the board. Resolution B is that it's necessary to levy a replenishment assessment, that also requires 6 board votes. Resolution C, that it's necessary to levy an additional replenishment assessment, that requires 8 votes. And resolution D is it's necessary to establish a basin production percentage, production limitation, surcharge, and basin equity assessment. And that resolution also requires 8 votes. So resolution A is simply a finding and determination regarding a basin overdraft. And we calculate this as is defined in the District Act. And the calculation shows that the average annual overdraft, its basin storage decrease for the immediate past 5 water years is just over 132,000 acre feet. And also that resolution In that resolution, the groundwater basin's accumulated overdraft as of the last day of the water year, June 30, 2022, is 258,000 acre feet. So that is resolution A. Resolution B is the need to levy a replenishment assessment. And we are recommending to establish the replenishment assessment at $312 an acre foot. All groundwater production pays the replenishment assessment. And as I mentioned, this requires 6 votes to pass. Resolution C is the need to levy an additional replenishment assessment and a fixed charge replenishment assessment. And we are recommending to also establish the additional replenishment assessment at $312 an acre foot. And that is paid by all non-agricultural production. And it requires 8 votes, as I mentioned. And then for very small groundwater users, we establish a fixed charge RA. And this is for a well opening less than 2 inches. And you're on less than 1 acre of land. And you just pay one annual payment of $624 if you fall into that category. So graphically, what we have here is in the green on the bottom is the replenishment assessment. And again, that's paid by all groundwater production. And then the blue is the additional replenishment assessment paid by non-ag production. So the total is $624 an acre foot, and that is what a city or retail water district would pay for pumping groundwater next year. The final resolution D is levying the BPP, the basin production percentage, the BEA, production limitation and surcharge. And we are recommending to set the BPP at 85% for next year. And the BPP is 85% for this year, so we're recommending to maintain it at 85% next year. We also establish a basin equity assessment for each producer, and a producer would pay the BEA if they pump above the basin production percentage. Table 1 in your board packet shows the BEA for each groundwater producer. The average BEA is $386 an acre foot. We have reduced the BEA by $200 an acre foot for next year, because we want to encourage the groundwater producers to pump as much groundwater as they can. We still have the situation where because of PFAS, a lot of producers aren't able to pump their normal amount of groundwater. And so for those producers who are not impacted by PFAS, we are giving them a reduction on the BEA and to encourage them to pump even more so that we can get groundwater pumping back up to normal levels. We're also establishing a production limitation of 100% and a surcharge of $2,000 an acre foot. And this is for any producer who may pump too much groundwater. If they're pumping more groundwater than what their total water demands are, they could exceed the production limitation and have to pay that surcharge. So that's a financial disincentive for anyone to pump too much water above the 100% production limitation. So here's the recommendations from staff. And resolution A, finding and determining a groundwater basin overdraft exists. And Madam President, we can, I think we take these one at a time. So I'll stop with resolution A, that for the finding that a basin overdraft exists.
John, I still have to ask for questions.
Okay. Okay. My bad.
But I won't go out of order.
We'll come back and go at one at a time.
Okay.
Resolution B is levying a replenishment assessment of $312 an acre foot. Resolution C is levying an additional RA of 312 an acre foot. And then resolution D, setting the basin production percentage at 85%, establishing a production limitation of 100% and a surcharge of $2,000 an acre foot, and determining the need and desirability to levy the BEA amounts that are shown in your staff report. So I'll stop right there and we can open a public hearing. Yes. or take questions.
The public hearing is open.
Take questions.
But would anyone from the public like to ask any questions or make any comments? I don't have any cards up here. Anybody? We'll listen.
No one on Zoom.
Okay. Okay.
Madam President,
yes?
Given that, I would like to move Resolution A.
Wait, can I close the... But I was going to ask,
do we have
any questions or comments? I'll close the public hearing. Okay.
With that, I'll move Resolution A, which is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Orange County Water District, finding and determining a groundwater basin overdraft exists.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on Resolution A.
Okay. Roll call. Director Mezquit.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Aye.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 9 yes votes with Director Sheldon absent.
Okay. Moving on to Resolution B. John, do you want to...
Resolution B is levying a replenishment assessment of $312 per acre foot for next fiscal year.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move that right.
Well, second.
Roll call. Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Yes. Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Abstention.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Director Tran abstaining and Director Sheldon absent.
Okay.
Resolution C is to levy an additional replenishment assessment of $312 an acre foot and a fixed charge RA of $624.
I move the recommendation.
I'll second. Yes,
please. Can staff explain this resolution C a little bit more in details for me?
So I'll use this. We have the replenishment assessment that everyone pays, and we've set it at $312 an acre foot. And then the additional RA is paid by everybody except non-ag production. So a farmer does not have to pay the additional RA. If you're a city and you pump groundwater, you're going to pay a total of $624 an acre foot. If you're an ag person, a farmer, you only have to pay $312 an acre foot for the groundwater you pump. And it's been a historical practice of the district to set the RA and the additional RA at the same amounts.
I remember now. Thank you.
And the amount of farmers are tiny, right? I mean,
there's three or four still in Orange County in our service area. Yeah. And they pump about less than 1,000 acre feet a year.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Roll call. Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Tran?
No.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes votes, with a no vote from Director Tran and Director Sheldon absent.
Okay.
Then Resolution D is to establish the basin production percentage at 85% and a production limitation of 100%, a surcharge of $2,000 an acre foot, and to establish the basin equity assessments for each producer as is shown in the staff report.
Okay.
Which one was the one that had the 2-inch pipe or well?
That was the last Resolution C.
That's the one.
Oh.
Does that mean any producer with the wells, they would be charged an additional?
just a flat rate for the whole year of $624 because it's such a small amount of water and it's not worth the administration of measuring it and following how much they pump. Just charge them that amount and you're good for the whole year.
Okay, thank you.
Director Rowe?
Yes, thank you. I have a question about the basin equity assessment. I agree with it. I just wanted some clarification on this $200 per acre foot discount. Have we done it before? Do you plan on doing it in the future? Could you explain it?
Sure. We've done some similar things in the past. But this year, right now, it's kind of unique with PFAS. And with PFAS impacting a lot of producers, there's a lot of producers who won't even be able to pump up to the BPP. So groundwater pumping is less than normal, and it's impacting our revenues. And so we're trying to get groundwater pumping as high as possible. We're trying to get groundwater pumpers, groundwater producers who don't have a PFAS issue to pump well above the 85% BPP. And to do that, we're giving them this financial incentive to pump above the BPP to kind of goose up total groundwater pumping. And it'll help a little bit. We're predicting the groundwater pumping will be about 280,000 acre feet for next fiscal year. Now, normally it would be well over 300,000 acre feet. We have to get these PFAS systems completed to get groundwater pumping back to where we think it should be. But for now, we'll give this little financial incentive for some producers to encourage them to pump even more than they might.
Well, I have a question. Would they need assistance in constructing new wells to be able to?
Well, there could be producers in that category, but for now, this is just for producers who already have excess capacity.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, the resolution.
I just wanted to add also, if we were to set the BPP at 100% to encourage that pumping, we would actually be losing money. This way, we're generating money. We're generating a partial BEA when they pump over the BPP. So we're getting both the RA and additional revenue by encouraging them to pump to 100.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Director Omedzkwa?
Yeah, I'm looking at the base equity assessment here for the city of Santa Ana. That's a cost for the city, correct?
Yes. However, you're avoiding full cost MWD water that costs about $1,200 an acre foot.
That's what I want to know. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Sold.
I'm a yes vote.
Well, I'll move resolution.
I'll second.
Okay.
Roll call. Director Omedzkwa?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Abstention.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Director Tran abstaining and Director Sheldon absent.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 19, the proposed fiscal year 2023-24 budget.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Randy Fick will be presenting this item to the board this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Randy. As soon as John gets out of the way.
Nope. I was close. <There you go. laughs>
Chair.
Okay, we have to get out. I went too far.
Too far.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Good evening, Board President Green and members of the board. This evening, we have the proposed approval of the proposed fiscal 2023-24 budget. There's a calendar you see quite often, and we've been having budget meetings with the board and the producers since mid-December, so a long process. And this evening, we just had a public hearing to set the RA and the VPP. And now we have consideration to approve the budget that those numbers were based upon. So this is approval of the budget consideration for 23-24. So here's a pie chart that you've seen. This is our planned expenditures for 23-24 fiscal year. We have seven major expenditures, just under $270 million for next year. And since we've shown this proposed budget since March 1st at the board meeting, there's been one minor change to the budget. So the draft budget was for an RA of $624 an acre foot. And we have one minor change to the general fund budget, increasing the office, general manager's office, his memberships and sponsorships by $44,000. Not enough to impact the RA, a minor amount. It would take almost $300,000 in expenditures to increase the RA $1. So the final proposed budget supports the $624 an acre foot RA. And with that, the recommendation is to approve the proposed fiscal year 2023-24 budget. And I can answer any questions.
Okay. Do we have any questions or comments? Please, Director Meeks.
Well, recently we learned about maybe some additional regulation on new chemicals that would need to be cleared out of the water and different regulations coming forward. Does this budget anticipate any of that, or is that something that we'd have to bring back in next year's budget to take action on that?
This budget supports the existing program that we have to provide treatment for 58 individual wells that have been affected by the state regulations. It does not include any proposed future regulations. So I think what we talked about last time at the last meeting was US EPA came out with a proposed maximum contaminant level of 4 parts per trillion for PFOA and PFOS. And that will not take effect probably until the end of this calendar year. And at that time, there'll be a 3-year period in which to provide treatment for any affected wells. So we don't know exactly how many wells that could be. It could be 30 to 45 wells. I think we gave the presentation at the last board meeting, Jason did. And so that would have to be included in the following year's budget once we found out exactly how many wells were affected and what that cost would be.
Anybody else? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Roll call. Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 8 yes votes, with Directors Bilodeau and Sheldon absent.
Okay. Next, the Community Action Partnership of OC Low Income Housing Water Assistance Program.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. We were asked to provide this information to the board, which is a program that is administered by the Community Action Partnership of Orange County, grant funding for water systems. And they have to get rid of some money. And so they would love to do that. Some of our retail water agencies are already part of the program, but we thought it would be informational to the board and those also attending the meeting, both here and virtually. So we have two representatives, Christine, who's seated, and then Sylvia, and Sylvia will be giving the presentation to the board this evening. Boy, she's asking John for help. That's a dangerous recipe.
Good evening, members of the board, everyone else.
Can you move your microphone?
Yeah. Hello, a little bit better. Okay.
Yes.
So good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us here. My name is Sylvia Deng. I am a training manager at Community Action Partnership of Orange County. I'm also here with our director, Christine Boginski, of our Energy and Environmental Services Department. So today I will be talking to you a little bit about our organization, but mainly with the focus on our new water bill assistance program. So we are called Community Action Partnership of Orange County, or CAPOC for short. Our headquarters are in Garden Grove, but we serve all of Orange County. We've been around since 1965. We are one of about 1,000 community action agencies throughout the US. We were born out of the war on poverty when President Johnson declared that. And we provide services for low income households and homeless households and individuals. Our programs address immediate needs, and also we empower communities to invest in their families and take care of themselves. So some of our programs for immediate needs include rental and utility assistance, food and diaper distributions. For empowering communities, we provide counseling, job and workforce development programs, financial coaching, et cetera. So as I mentioned, Christine and I are actually in the Energy and Environmental Services Department of our agency, and our two main programs are utility assistance. So that's for water, gas, and electric bills, and a home weatherization program, which is like we would do an assessment on the home and see where we can make the home more energy efficient. So we would like do things such as do attic insulation, repair or replace refrigerators, washing machines, dryers, et cetera. So we have what's called the Low Income Household Energy Assistance Program, LIHEAP. So that provides funding for our gas, electric bills, and for home weatherization services. And then the water program that I'll be talking about, it's the Low Income Household Water Assistance Program, or LIWAP. So a little bit about our utility assistance program on gas and electric bills, just because that is the foundation that we build on and what our water program is based off of. So to apply, they must be a resident of Orange County and meet the monthly income guidelines shown on the right here. Provide copies of a California ID, their gas and electric bill, household income documentation. So we do pay past due bills up to $3,000, and or if their bills are current, they can receive a benefit of anywhere from $300 to $600, depending on household size and income. And now going into the water assistance program. So this is the first federal program of its kind. We started implementing the water program, LIWAP, last year. So it's new for us. We did try to emulate the LIHEAP program that we have for the gas and electric bills. So the program provides a one-time benefit of up to $15,000 to cover past due drinking water, wastewater, sewer, and stormwater costs for eligible low-income customers. We also started paying current bills as well. So it's similar to the gas and electric bill program. They can receive a few $100 basic benefit if they're current on their bills. So for the water utility providers, so something that is a little bit different than our gas and electric bill program, we do require that the provider is enrolled in the program. So for our gas and electric, we've been working with only a handful of providers. So that would be Southern California Edison, Anaheim Public Utilities, and the gas company. We've been working with them for decades, so it's been working out fine. But for the water program, we had to kind of convince them to enroll, and they have to be set up in the system to receive payment. So it's first come, first serve basis. As I mentioned, the costs that we cover are drinking water, wastewater, sewer, and stormwater costs. We also cover taxes and late fees. For disconnection notices, so typically when we work with a customer, we do advise that they stay in contact with their provider. So even if they get approved for a payment, they still need to contact them and let them know that they can ask for an extension plan or an extension or get on a payment plan to in the meantime while their funds are coming in. So as I mentioned, how LIHWAP differs from LIHEAP, instead of a $3,000 maximum payment, it's up to $15,000 for past due water bills. And the participant's water utility provider must be enrolled in the program. So these are the water providers that are enrolled in our program right now. I know there are a lot, many of them are in your district, I believe. So for LIHWAP eligibility, it's very similar to the gas and electric bills program. The only difference is there is what's called a categorical eligibility. So if the participant is enrolled in other programs, they may be automatically eligible for this program. So they don't have to submit their proof of income, or even if they are over this income amount, if they do receive CalFresh or CalWORKs benefits or received LIHEAP benefits in the past year, then they automatically qualify for the LIHWAP program. So there have been many challenges with this program, with LIHWAP, since we started implementing it in July of last year. The good news is we received a lot of funding. We received $4.2 million to spend out to share with the community who is, you know, in need of help with paying their water bills. As of April 2023, we have spent $679,000. This funding is expected to expire. It's actually not August, but I'm sorry, September 30th. So they did extend it for one more month. So the problem here is we are at risk of losing out on $3.5 million of funding that could go into the communities. Orange County is not alone in being able to spend out these funds. So Community Action Partnership of Orange County is the local service provider for Orange County for this program. But just for you to know, California had expended less than 15% of the total $108 million allocation as of February 1st of this year. So the current challenge we have right now is getting the water providers to cooperate or promote our programs. Even though we have that list of 20 or so water providers that are enrolled, a lot of them are, they're not very willing to cooperate with us. We know that, unfortunately, they did not receive extra funding or administrative dollars to administer this program. So that is a problem. So sometimes, you know, they only have a very small staff and they're unable to help us with these items. But that is definitely a challenge for us so far. What help we're asking for the water providers, if possible, is just some collaboration. So, for example, bill inserts. We found that that may really work. We're happy to finance that, all the marketing costs of any bill inserts, of flyers, of even posters, if they want to put those up in their lobby of their office. But and bill inserts, I mean, that's when people receive their bills. So this is, it kind of legitimizes this program and our organization that there is help available for people who need it to pay their water bills. Also the knowledge of past due customers. We would love if there's a way for them to share this list with us if possible. Ordinarily, relationships with a customer and the the collections department is an adversarial relationship, right? They just want them to pay their bills. It's not a very nice relationship typically, but we want to transform that to a more a relationship of advocacy, saying, look, there's help out there if you really need it. And we want you to look into this program and sign up for it so that you can pay down your bill. Because ultimately, it helps the water provider as well to bring their customers' balance to zero. And enrollment events. So we had a recent event with Van helped us with getting a event with the city of Westminster. So that turned out really well, where they promoted it to their residents. They came out, we bought a few staff members, and we brought applications. So we helped them fill out the applications, answered any questions that they had. We would love to do that with other water providers or cities as well. We can also provide personnel to assist in any of these admin tasks that they would need to help promote this program. And then just some other challenges we have, like I mentioned, the water provider has to be enrolled in the program. We also at this time cannot pay water bills through a third party entity if they pay it through another company. And just in general, outreach and promotion to the community. We feel like we haven't... We're trying in different manners, but we haven't reached enough people yet to spend out the money. Weatherization, just wanted to touch on that briefly, just as it is one of our bigger programs from our agency and in our department. So weatherization is the practice of essentially protecting a building and its interior from the outside elements. So weatherproofing it, essentially. So we look at areas where there may be drafts in the home. We weather strip the doors. We fix any broken glass, caulk the windows, install attic insulation, et cetera. We have the same requirements as utility assistants. So the same income chart. We just require a few additional forms and proof of home ownership. We do help renters as long as the owner approval is received. So the process is you apply, we do an assessment on the home to see what work can be done. Then we connect you with a subcontractor who does the work on the home. And then our crew comes in and does a final inspection to make sure the work was done properly and completely. And so these are some of the possible measures, as I mentioned, weather stripping, replacing gas appliances, refrigerator, air conditioning, heater, water heater, et cetera. Why weatherize? It reduces energy consumption in your home. It saves you money on your bills, lowers your utility bills, and for comfort, for temperature control. And I think that's it. If anyone has any questions, I have my contact information here.
Any questions? Any comments? Director Amezcua?
Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. Perfect. I have a loud voice. You'd hear me anyway. You're Sylvia, right?
Yes.
And so, Sylvia, thank you for this presentation. I really appreciate it. I sat on the school board for 8 years and then was elected mayor, and I've never heard of this program. So, and for me, that's a very, it's very disturbing that, because my community has a need. And so I would love to meet with you, have you come out to my city, have you sit out in front of City Hall with me.
Yes.
And come to, I'll take you all over the city.
We'll be happy to do all of
it. Yeah, because really I'm sitting here thinking, I sat on the school board for 8 years and then became the mayor on December 13th. And I have never heard of this. And I've had people, and I'm very involved, and my family's been in the city for like 85 years. We're very involved, but I've never heard of this. And so thank you so much. And thank you for asking for the presentation, Director Tran. And I'm very interested, and I really want to bring you into my city because I have residents that have a need. So thank you.
Thank you. We would be happy to do that. I'm very glad.
Director Rowe?
Yes, thank you for the presentation. I also didn't know that these programs were available. I'd like to put the Pauls on spot here. IRWD and Mesa, have you had experience with these programs, and for each of your districts, could you share?
Yes, you might have seen that Mesa Water District is one of the participants in this program, and our customer service reps, as they are helping people pay their bills, we have two options. This is one of the options that we provide folks. We also work with the local Save Ourselves SOS group also. So those are the two groups that we will refer people to.
So we have had a lot of people using this program.
We do have some disadvantaged communities in our area, although I think most of them don't pay the water bill. You know, maybe they're renters. And so overall, we have less of, you know, folks who, you know, reach out for us for this type of assistance than maybe some of the other.
Right. Homeowners, renters, not.
Yeah, yeah, we have very large rental population, but most of them aren't paying the water bill.
And Mr. Wakehorse?
Very, very good questions. Our community is also participating. We have had limited participation. We have a fair amount of renters as well. And but, you know, Irvine, we're not as a in a situation where we have so many disadvantaged communities.
Okay. Well, yeah. Time is short for these programs to end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I don't. Oh, well then push your button. Okay. Director Tran.
Well, thank you so much, Madam President. Thank you again, Ms. Deng, for coming here to present your services through Capital C. Well, it's one of those situation in which we, the federal government provides the funding, and we have a good situation in that the local folks are not spending fast enough. So there is a surplus of nearly over $3 million left that we can and should inform our community. And most of us who sit on this panel have or are currently served on various city councils and have very direct communications or relations with our respective cities. And not only with the water, but I know having worked with Capital C in the past, there are other programs through LIHEAP and other types of programs such as gas, utilities, and weatherization, especially during this time of year. Please take advantage of it because it's these are goodies, and you know, the most vulnerable communities and residents in our cities really can use these types of services, and it's being provided free of charge. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Yes, please.
And just, Madam President, we'll make sure that we send this presentation out to all of the directors so that you have a copy, and we'll make sure it's posted to the website as well.
Thank you. Okay, that was an, yes?
Patricia Goodman on Zoom has her hand raised.
Okay, Pat?
Hello, thank you. Yeah, it was very interesting, and I'm heartened that people that are in, like CalFresh, automatically connect with this program. However, renters do pay for their water through their monthly rental payment. So is there any kind of service or benefit to landlords that pass those costs on to low-income folks?
Unfortunately, with this program design, we are unable to pay through that system. Yes, that's the unfortunate part of this. And we know that we would advocate for the change, but you know, the time is looming. Yeah. So yes.
Right. But in future, and but maybe there'd be some way to advocate through our local representatives, assembly or state senate people, or the federal level. Anyway, just a thought. Thank you.
Yes, we are losing out on a lot of renters. I feel really terrible about that. But hopefully, if they do bring this back in the future, that is one area that we've really been pushing for.
Okay. That's it. Okay. That was an informational item. Moving next to water resource. Thank you very much for coming. I did not know about this program either. So thank you for doing that. We'll get that out to our cities. Can we get this out, this information out to our producers?
We were going to give a presentation at the producers meeting as well.
Perfect.
The next producers meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are cities and water agencies. Okay. Water resources summary.
You know, I just normally I pass on this one, but the information is contained within the packet. But just to bring the board up to date, we still have about 17,000 acre feet of water behind Prado Dam. And so that's quite a bit.
Oh.
And we're slowly releasing it. We're capturing it downstream. All the recharge basins are full. We're losing perk because they're starting to clog, but we're still able to percolate the water. And because it's been so wet, and I don't know that we've fully discussed this with the board, but we have had to turn the production of the GWS plant down a bit because there's so much water up in the forebay. There's actually water mounding going on. There's the basins are so close to one another that the water just cannot escape and percolate down into the groundwater basins. So that's okay. We're taking advantage of the free water. If we don't meet our full production for this year, we'll have lower operational costs, which will help with the budget. But the good news is we are awash in water this winter, and the guys up in the men and women up in the forebay are doing a very good job managing that water and making sure that we're putting it in the right places and doing the right thing. So I just wanted to add that into the report.
Great. Okay. Next, Sapa, Bruce.
Yes, thank you. At yesterday's Sapa Commission meeting, the commission approved $74,600 for design, bidding support, construction administration for the Sapa building lobby. The improvements that need to be made involve security, to improve security, and also to comply with ADA requirements and allow equal opportunity access. That was the only action item, but on a side note, we had our first closed session since we've been back to in-person meetings at Sapa as well. But that is all. Thank you, Madam President.
Moving on to committee conference meeting report, communications and legislative. Chair Bilodeau isn't. Oh, Director Nguyen, are you the vice chair? Okay. Okay. GWRS steering committee information's in the packet, and you got to see a bird's eye view Friday if you were here of what's going on. Water issues.
Yes, the information is also in the packet.
Admin finance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have any reports on committees, conferences, meetings attended at district expense at which a quorum of the board was present?
No.
GWRS dedication, do we have to? I don't know if that applies or not. I was asking. I don't know. Okay. Verbal reports. Thank you to Public Affairs and for everything you did, and to all the staff. I know everybody was involved with this. It was, I thought things went really well. The only thing I was really sorry about is we did not thank our sponsors, and I don't know how to fix that. But anyway, you guys did a fabulous job, I thought. And lots and lots of moving parts, and still everybody came through. So thank you. General Manager?
Just ditto to your remarks, Madam President.
Okay. Director's reports, yes?
Yes. I mentioned at WIC earlier in the month about how impressed I was by the preliminary viability assessment that Dr. Ralph did for us on FIRO back in August 2021. And there's a number of recommendations that were addressed in the report. And I'd like to see staff basically provide their conclusions and what they plan to do with the recommendations that they have presented from the PVA, in that we ought to at least be caught up with what recommendations that they have in preparation for receiving the final preliminary viability assessment in August. They'll probably come up with more recommendations. And I think it's important for us to basically be on top of this. Do I need a second board member to ask staff to do that? Any other board member want to support that?
I don't know. It's not on the agenda. Why don't you?
Well, I think that that's normally what staff would do, Director Rowe, with the report, is evaluate it and make comment before the final report.
Well, I don't recall anything from the preliminary viability assessment that went over the recommendations that were provided. And I'd like to see what the staff's response is, whether they're good and we're moving forward, or they're bad and we're just going to forget about it.
No, we can provide that to the board. That's
WIC may be appropriate.
Give us a little time. We just lost our executive director.
No worries.
He was well plugged into that issue.
Right.
Well, that's not a problem. And we're still trying to get Marty to give a presentation to the board also at a, he's kind of busy with, although the atmospheric rivers have kind of ceased, we're moving into spring and summertime, but we should have him within the next couple months, I think, be able to give a presentation on the work that he's doing for us at Prado.
Okay, well, I'm going to study the PVA a little more and try to be on top of it, try to see if we could advance some of the issues that they proposed. Thank you.
And I neglected to congratulate you. Also on Friday, Mike was a panelist on the, what was the name of it? Water Infrastructure Winds, I don't know what it was, but did a good job. It was a very, very interesting afternoon, very, very long day, I know. So good job. General Counsel?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. We have one closed session this evening for conference legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. One case, Irvine Ranch Water District versus OCWD et al. And with that, I recommend we recess to closed session.
Okie doke.
So closed session will be in conference room C2 across the hallway.
Letitia, can you hear us?
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're all good, right? It's like everyone's in the waiting room besides Mr. Larson.
Yes, correct.
I just want to get rid of that. Oh, okay.
You didn't hear that. I hope that has to do that somewhere. I'm watching around here. This is
no one likes to hear lawyers.
Yeah.
So. She said she was.